in Aroostook County, May 15th was the time when you might plant a little earlier than May 15th, but May 15th was sort of the time when if you couldn't start planting by then, you were going to have late potatoes. So May 15th through, say, the first week in June was your 3 weeks planting time. You had several varieties of potatoes. You planted some cobblers early because they matured earlier, and then you had Green Mountains, which was the big crop. Probably if you had 25 acres of potatoes, you'd probably have 3 acres or four of cobblers to get a little early potatoes and some early money to tide you through the rest of the season. And your Green Mountains would be your crop that was going to be stored or sold later. And the same way with digging. Digging season started pretty much September 15th, and it lasted about 3 weeks through the first week in October. After that, it was iffy whether or not you're going to have big frosts or bad weather. Those two seasons for farming, planting and digging, was pretty much about 3 weeks each. And of course, farming with horses and small acreages, seed was cut by hand. That was an occupation for one group of people to be cutting seed, and there was another occupation for people to be preparing the land, depending on the weather. And then you had to really work around that, and then planting. Sometimes it'd be cold weather and windy days, and sometimes it'd be real good weather. But basically, it was pretty much 3 weeks. You didn't use the chemicals for weed killing and things like that. You just didn't use them, period. You pulled your weeds by hand. You went through your potatoes 2 rows at a time, and you'd pull mustard or whatever was coming up. Better for your land, but on the other hand, it was hard work and not as expensive. I don't think it was expensive because most of the kids did it. I mean, most of the kids in the family, that was their job, pull mustard. I know one farm we went to the first year, we pulled mustard in those potatoes 5 times. You get finished and you look back over where you'd done, and it'd be coming up again and blossoming, and you had to go back over it. Most small farmers, their family pretty much did all the extra work, the potato picking and the pulling the mustard, and you had oats and the haying. Haying was, of course, you had animals, so you your hay was a big factor. You had cows and you had horses. The haying was a midsummer thing, and depending on the weather. And farmers, I swear, they could just look up at the sky and know what it was going to do. You didn't have any weather reports or anything like that. Just look, well, it's going to rain tomorrow, I think, so we better do this today. And they got through it pretty good. They got to be pretty good weather people. I guess probably sort of an instinct after a while. Harvesting was a big time. Oats was quite a big crop because you had a lot of horses. At thrashing time, be only one thrashing machine or maybe two in the whole area. So that thrashing machine would thrash this person's oats, and then he'd come to the next person and do that. And you'd have to have a big crew. You'd have to have people to bring the oats in and to be on the machine, and you'd need a big crew for that. And so farmers would share. Everybody around was worked. You didn't expect any help around the house or anything like that in harvest time. And one year, it would have been probably in the 40s, my husband's father was an undertaker. And of course, somebody had to die when the thrashers were around. And there wasn't anybody to dig the grave except me and a 12-year-old nephew. So Mr. Bell went out, and he had a bad heart. He couldn't do it either, so couldn't expect anybody to stop thrashing, even to dig a grave. I mean, that's it. That's the thrashing machine. It's the good weather, and they're going to do it. And so it's up in Bridgewater. And so Mr. Bell went out, and he lined out the grave, how you're supposed to dig it, how big it was, and, you know, it's got to be straight because that casket's got to get down in there. So Britt and I started to dig the grave. Well, as you get down a little ways, you know, we weren't experienced. Of course, I'm young and full of plenty of vigor and everything like that then. It's bowed in a little bit like this. Funeral was 1 o'clock, and Mr. Bell came out, and he looked at it, and the casket wasn't going to get down there. So he relined it for us, and so we had to dig all the extra out. And they're supposed to be 6 feet under. That's to be sure it's under frost. We finished about 12:30. I don't think the guy's 6 feet under. I think he's probably near 5. But anyway, that's where I dug the grave. But that's an example of thrashing time. Everybody works. And you go, say you're thrashing at a farmer's house. Okay, the wife is going to serve dinner for a whole crowd. And that's a big deal. It's competition right there. The best pie, the best this, the best that. And it's a competition with the women. Those guys are all coming in. They're going to be hungry, but they're also sampling your cooking. And the word's going to get out that she does good pies, or she does this, or her such and such is better than somebody else's. So that's thrashing time. Of course, that's now it's done by machinery and so forth. But it was a big deal. And you had this big old straw pile. And so the thrash machine blew the straw into one place. And then a few nights afterwards, you'd have this big bonfire. And that was the fun thing. It was almost like a party. And burn that big pile of straw, which would be as big as this room here, or bigger. We didn't catch any woods on fire. And it's amazing, you know, that you didn't. But that's pretty much how it worked. You have your hay in season. When everybody works, you hauled your big old barns, because you had cows and horses and so forth that you had to feed for the whole year. And you had the granary underneath, usually on the first level, and then up over you had the hay mow up there. You brought your load of hay in, and you had a fork. You put it down in and you hook it, and then there's a horse on a rope out here, what they call hauling off, with the kid will be leading the horse to make sure he goes in the right direction. And because all the men are up in the haymow. And when that fork comes up, and it goes on a track across, and it'll swing like this. And if the guy who's tripping the fork, if he can just do it just right, he can put it almost where he wants it. But if he doesn't, that means that the guy's up there in the haymow has got to mow that all where it's supposed to be. Someone who could gauge where to put that load of hay was very popular. Very popular. He was considered like an expert. They always wanted him to do it. And haying was pretty much the same thing. You had crews then, but not like harvesting time. Harvesting, every person available would work at one person's farm and then go to the next farm. And that was usually sometime before digging, probably August, maybe mid-August, maybe late August, depending on when it was. Then, of course, after digging time, then it was burn the tops, and any plowing that had to be done for the year. And most good farmers had what they called a three-year rotation, where you planted potatoes 1 year, and the next year you planted oats, but you also planted grass seed at the same time. Oats would come up and be harvested that year, and the grass seed would come up, but it would be hay the following year. It would be big enough to be hay. And of course, that was good for your soil to do it that way. And sometimes the grass, you might keep it in hay 2 years, and then he'd go back to potatoes again. Then he'd have to plow after he'd cut his hay and so forth, either 1 year or 2 years, whichever he decided to do. Then he'd plow that in the fall, and then that would be ready for potatoes the next year. But it was a good rotation, and certainly good for the land. Kept the land in better shape than really what is being kept in today. And your soil was more loamy. You can see the difference. I can see a field that's been planted in potatoes 4 or 5 years in one after the other, that it's not as good. And after digging, I'll say, what happens after digging? They're plowing, and then usually, you kill a couple of pigs or a calf. And back in, before we had good refrigeration, you waited until November, then you hung it outside because your weather's cold enough to keep it. And then if a January thaw come along, you had to cut that all up and cook it immediately, because there's no other way to save it. Preservation thing, you had to do it real quick. And then in the winter, usually the men folks were gone, and my father was the foreman in a lumber camp and so forth. And the wife and the kids were pretty much in charge of the farm. They had some cows that maybe were milking, maybe they weren't, depending on whether or not they were going to freshen. And you had pigs and you had hens, and you had wood fires. And, of course, with roads not being open, you had to be very cautious about fires. If your house got fire, if you had a chimney fire even, there was nobody to help you. You had a pump or something like that for water. So fire was a real threat. It really was. In the winter, because some of the houses were old and some weren't, but you had a lot of responsibility to keep the animals fed and so forth, and keep from having fires, and then getting the kids ready to go to school in the morning and so forth, and walking to school. I think schools then were set, country schools, were set 2 miles apart, or 3 miles apart. No child had to walk more than 2 miles. This way, or that way, or that way, or this way. And that's why the country schools were set out in the boondocks, out on the side roads. So in Monticello, they would have one on the West Road, one on the Lake Road. I don't think there was one on the Britain Road. Pretty well scattered. And school went almost every day. You didn't have storm days like you do now. What would happen, and it was to the detriment of all the kids who lived out in the country, you'd probably have school for the kids in town, because that's where the teachers lived, and the kids out in the country would miss, which was hard for them to make up. So that's about a year on the farm.